But Parshat Mishpatim. Oh, hey there.
Oh,
Hi.
I don't
We're
see her. Where
recording.
is she?
Looking at Parshat Mishpatim. And a lot of laws in Mishpatim, but I like the narrative part just to be able to say something appropriately Agadic. So we'll look at the end of the Parsha. There's a very strange story. This three psukim, first one, Vayal Moshe va'Aron, the Nadav v'Avihu. So Moshe goes up with Aaron and Nadav and Avihu, Aaron's older sons, v'shivim zikne Yisrael, and 70 of the elders, v'yiru et Elokei Yisrael, and they see God, the God of Israel. V'tachat raglav k'maseh libnas apir, under his legs it looks like a brick of sapir, translated as sapphire, k'etzem hashemayim latohar, and as pure as the sky. And he did not cast his hand against the leaders of Israel. And they gazed upon God. And they ate and they drank.
Is that weird?
That's weird. Okay, you've read that every single year forever. And it's just really weird. Okay, just don't read it, right? It's in Shvi. Like, don't pay attention to that part. So, give some context. This trip, the Vayal going up Har Sinai, they're all camped around Har Sinai. It's part of the whole Brit ceremony. When
What
they say
ceremony?
the Brit, the original
Oh.
covenant, when the Bnei Israel say Na'aseh v'nishma, that's part of this. And there's a machloket, and it comes at the end of our parsha, but the machloket, Rashi and Ramban argue about exactly when it happened. Ramban reads it in chronological order, meaning, we have Maamar Har Sinai in last week's Parsha. We have a long list of laws from Parsha Mishpatim that we started last week. And afterwards, right before Moshe goes up for his 40 days, they have this Brit, including this going up Har Sinai. And Rashi says, well, we'll see. It says, El Hashem Moshe Amar, that Moshe had been told, he had said to Moshe, meaning it's all happened beforehand. This is a flashback. So here's the story in terms of context. Again, this either happens right before Maamad Har Sinai on the fourth day of Sivan according to Rashi, or right afterwards. But Moshe Amar, and Moshe had, and he to Moshe he had said, "Alei al Hashem, you need to go up to God. Atav Yaron Nadav Avihu b'shimim zeknei Yisrael. You Aaron, Nadav Avihu, and 70 of the elders. Yishtachivitem arachok, and you'll bow down far away. You're not going up to the top of Har Sinai. You're going up Har Sinai." Moshe will go close toward God. They won't go that close. And the people are not going to go up with him. So this is when Moshe gets his message, and Moshe goes back down. And Moshe tells Bnei Israel everything that God had said, and all the laws. Again, if you're Ramban, it's the laws of Parshat Mishpatim. If you're Rashi, it's talking about the Shiva Mitzvah Bein Noah and Noah. And the people all said in unison, we'll do everything God says. And then he offers olot and zvachim and sprinkles blood, and he takes a scroll of the Brit, and that's got its own discussion exactly what Sefer HaBrit is written in there, because they haven't gotten a physical Torah yet. And reads it into the ears of the people. So it couldn't have been that long. And then Bnei Israel all say Na'aseh v'nishma, and that's wonderful. We know that. And then Moshe and Aaron, just like he had been told, Moshe, Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, 70 elders all go up. And they see God, and under his legs is this brick of sapphire. And then next paragraph, which is afterwards, everyone agrees this is after Maamad Har Sinai. This is when Moshe is being told to go up. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Alei Alei Ahara. Hashem tells Moshe, go, come up to me, Vayashem, and you're going to be there. Not like the short trips you've done before. But Nelachat Evan, I'm going to give you the tablets of stone, Vatarav Mitzvah, and all the Torah and the Mitzvot. This is where the idea of a Torah Shebaal Peh comes from. You get this physical stone plus the Torah and mitzvah that I've written to teach them. And so then after setting things up, telling the people, okay, I'm gonna go up. Aaron, who are in charge, these Ikdanim are here with you. Don't mess things up. And then Moshe goes up the mountain in the darkness. Moshe's up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And as a spoiler alert, they mess it up. We know this. Okay, that's how the parsha ends. But I want to look at this. What's this story of they go up and they see God?
What's in Pasuk Chet there? You have dot, dot, dot.
Chet?
Chet. It
I
goes from
have it.
Zion and then you left out Chet.
That he sprinkles, he gives him the blood here. We can look at. I'm not hiding anything. I promise.
It is very suspicious looking since you have everything else is
Okay, I didn't. Okay,
sort of spiritual.
it's part of the ceremony. He sprinkles the blood. Okay, yeah, left that by the part by Shechem Baboker, by Vinus Beach. Right, he builds an altar. There's a ceremony that involves carbonate and blood sprinkling. Boy, can't get anything past you. I assume you already read this. You remember all this here. Okay, but man, I want to put that. At the part of this, they go up and they see God. Okay, and we're not corporalists. Okay, so we're not going to take it literally, right? Not by Yiru'el Kei Yisrael, by Takara Glove, it's not literal. Okay, take it literally. I'm going to get Una, the bugbear of metaphor writers. Okay, this is Una, the bugbear. Okay. We must be clear. These are not real places. This is word picture for making understanding. Okay? We have to remember, they're a word picture for making understanding. In case you know the sort of thing I like, this is from a comic strip that is a parody of Dungeons and Dragons. So these are goblins that are arguing with each other. And
But making understanding, I
there's
love
a
that.
word picture for making understanding. Okay? That's what we're gonna have. But we're gonna look at this word picture for making understanding here.
How did you find that? I mean, that's like half the Torah, you know?
This is the kind of thing that I read, is I read comic strips about that are about parodies of Dungeons and Dragons. And if you're that kind of person, then
You're bound to
it'd
come
be
across something that
me.
relates to the Torah.
It's profoundly deep. Everything is connected to Torah. Okay.
Yeah. It's so crazy. It's like the first time I'm reading that part of the Torah with the
I
40
am a
days
big
and the
believer in
blood.
Shnayim Mikra. I'm a big believer in Shnayim Mikra Be'echad Targum for that reason. That you've actually, you actually read all the words and in translation that is appropriate for you. So that you've actually at least seen it once. Even if we don't understand everything, but at least it's there. Okay, so I don't understand. I don't pretend to understand what Nevi'im do in prophetic experience. My idea is some kind of synesthetic phenomenon, right? We just, it's in our brain, it doesn't involve the senses, but we have primitive primate brains and it has to interpret somehow. So it gets turned into images, right? And we see all that in last week's parsha when it said, V'chol ha'am ro'im et ha'kolot, right? All the people saw the sounds. And Meira actually asked me about that she had read the words for the first time and said, what does that mean? And Rashi says, ro'im et ha'kolot, ro'im et ha'tishma, she'i'efshar lirot b'makom acher, right? That it's not, it wasn't real sounds. And they ended up in your brain. And yeah, there were sounds, but you could see them. And that's what synesthesia is supposed to be like, where you see shapes, colors that go with sounds or other senses. They're all kind of mixed together.
I
So
always associate this with hallucinogenic drugs,
I
where
read
people
comics about
say
Dungeons and Dragons.
they hear
Right.
colors, they see
Yeah.
sound.
I'm sure it's something like that. I mean, I read comics about Dungeons and Dragons. You do hallucinogenic drugs. We all have our ways of
Yeah,
achieving
all the
insight.
time I do
I achieve
them.
insight by reading about Una the metaphor, bugbear metaphors. Okay, but this image that the Nevi'im see is pretty consistent. You know, when they have this image of what's going on up there, and I will have a couple examples of this. Here's from Malachim. This is a Navi named Michayahu. We only have one story about him. He doesn't get his own book, but he was a Navi to Ahav, along with Eliyahu. He says, I swear, I will say what God tells me. So listen, thus saith the Lord, Re'ita Hashem Yoshev al Kiso. I saw God sitting on his throne, called Tzva Hashemayim Omer Alav, and the hosts of heaven are standing by him, Yimino Mispral, on the left and the right. God with his hosts, with the angels around surrounding him. Or Yeshaya. Haftorah for, I guess, last week, Parsha, right? B'shnat Mota Melech Hizkiyo, etc. And Ve'eret Adoni Ad Hashem. I should make that one. I should spell it out. I saw Hashem Yoshev Al Kisei Ram V'Nisa, and I saw Hashem sitting on a throne that was elevated and high and elevated. And which goes with what you say in Shachris on Shabbos, Shochein Ad Marom Kadosh Shemo. Hamelach Yoshev Al Kisei Ram V'Nisa, sits on a throne. And Rabbi Shimon always insists that it should be Al Kisei, sits on a throne. Ram V'Nisa, that Hashem is Ram V'Nisa. Here it's clearly, it's Kisei Ram V'Nisa. The throne is way up there. Shulav and the base of the throne, Mle'im Atai Chayechal, and the base filled the Heichal, the Beit HaMikdash. Srafim Omim Imalo, then the Srafim, the angels are standing on their side, Sheikh Shnafayim Lachad, and with six wings on each other, on each one, Vekarazel Zevi Amar, Kadosh, 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 the vision of Kadosh saying, saying Kedusha, Malachim say Kedusha. Very similar image, or Yechezkel, famously, this is of Torah for Shavuos. And this is the most explicit vision of this, what we call the Masa Merkava. We'll see why it's called a Merkava, that this throne of God in Yechezkel's vision is a chariot. I always joke that we say this on Shavuos morning, because everyone stayed up all night the night beforehand. So everyone's asleep, so they're not paying attention, because you're not supposed to read this one, because it's too Kabbalistic and high level. So everyone's asleep when they read this. Yechezkel's already been in exile on the Harkavar. The heavens opened up, and I saw visions of God. Again, he has this long vision. You can read the pasuk up to part 22. I'm leaving it out, okay? It's lots of visions of the angels with wings and all that. But the key part about the vision of God, and I had the image on top of the chayot, these heavenly angels, rakia, the sky, in a kerachanara, like this awful ice, natuya roshahem, spread out over their heads, mimal, above them. Mimala rakia shel roshahem, but above the sky, which was looked like ice, kamare eben sapir dmut kisei. I saw this sapphire throne. Adam, and on the throne I saw a vision of a human being, Allah bimal, above it. Okay. And then they're surrounded by a glow, and Kamara Kesha Asher Yeh Banam Biyom HaGeshem, and the Kamara Hanogas, that this glow that surrounded the throne that was coming through this Rakia, which was this awful ice, was like the vision of the rainbow that appears in the clouds after the rain. That's my vision of Kavod Hashem, was the vision of the rainbow coming down through the ice. And I fell down and I hear the voice. And he has another vision, similar vision in Perek Yud. This is not a Haftorah or anything. And then and I looked up, and then there was the sky over the head of the Kruvim, Ke'evin Sapir, Ke'mare Demut Kisei Nora Alehem, that this awesome sapphire throne above them, again, same image, Rebni Abad Ofanim, and I saw that there were four wheels, Esra Kruvim, next to each of the Kruvim, Ofan Achad Eitzel Kruv Achad, one per Kruv, Ofan Achad Eitzel Kruv Achad, and the Ofanim were all made out of Tarshish stone. These are wheels. And the glory of God left the Heichal, left the Beit HaMikdash, and stood there by the Kruvim. And I saw the Kruvim lifting up from the earth, They tell them as they left the Beit HaMikdash, and the wheels were next to them. And they installed the wheels basically onto the kisei. And they stand next to the eastern gate of the house, and the glory of God is there. And he has a vision basically of Hashem's throne is leaving the Beit HaMikdash. And that's what his vision is. This is the vision of the coming Churban.
Why does it need wheels?
Because that's the idea, it's moving. It's a Merkava because it's leaving. This is the vision of the Churban.
But doesn't
So,
he have a vision of a Merkava with the horses and a real Merkava?
no, he does
Who's
not.
that? Who's
I
with the
don't know. There's
horses going
no.
in four directions and
The vision of horses in four directions is in Zechariah.
oh, Zachariah.
He doesn't have a Merkava there, except the red and the black horses. And Zechariah is even weirder than Yechezkel. He definitely was getting into the meshrooms.
Yeah,
But
but
the
the
idea
word
that
Merkava, we have the word Merkava,
right. So
right?
Merkava means literally a chariot. And in
Right.
terms of Yechezkel, it's basically wheels have been installed on the kisei of Hashem because it's leaving now. It's now moving. The Aron and with the Kaporet as being called the seat of Hashem is called the Merkava in Divrei Yomim when David builds it. These are all the sort of these images, right? But they have this constant image, right? God sitting on a throne, he's surrounded by his angels. And the one I want to look at is this image in Yechezkel, right? Both of them have this sapphire, the sapir throne that they see here. But there are a lot of differences. And because, I mean, the biggest one is that Yechezkel, in the way he's feeling it, he is not there. He's looking up, looking through the Grakia, the Kerach HaNara, through this awesome ice, right? He kind of very translucent, but he's definitely separated from the Kisei. He's looking up and has a vision of it. The camera right there is by a Chazuat Elokim. They're closer in some sense. They're gazing upon this image. And Yechezkel sees the sapir as an Eben sapir. It's a rock. The Kanim see it as a Livnata sapir, a brick. Which is going to turn out, which is going to be important in the world, in the way the Malbim understands it. And Yechezkel sees the Kisei. The throne, as opposed to Zakeim see the Tachat Raglav, the footstool part, which in Yeshaya's vision has a very different implication. I'm trying to look at metaphors here. And we know the quote from Yeshaya, Komar Hashem, Hashemayim Kisi, the heavens are my throne, but Aretz Hadam Raglai. And the earth is my hadom, is my footstool.
Wait, in our parsha, does it use the word kisei anywhere?
No. It's
Because here
talking
it's
about.
very prominent, like it's
Right. Yechezkel
there.
seeing Kisei, Zakanim are seeing this appear as Tachat Raglav, right? Hashem's feet are resting on this brick of Saphir. They're not seeing a Kisei. Okay, so I'm not going to touch the Mara Adam part, right? Mara Adam, what does it mean that Hashem is it looks like a human being in their vision? And the general answer is that we create God in our own image. Again, this is our brain trying to figure out what to do with it. But I'm going to look at that sapir. And how do we understand this? If we're trying to understand what it means, well, I don't know. It's too deep for me. But I'm going to look at the way to see what the Malbim looks like. It's always translated as sapphire because it looks right. Though the etymology dictionary, the official etymology dictionary online, this is Edom Online, says it's the Greek sapphiros that should be compared to the Hebrew sapir, according to the Oxford English Dictionary, probably ultimately not the same word. Probably coincidence you have two words, because it probably is from Sanskrit, which is sanpira. That we end up with these two words. So we don't know what a sapir really is. That sapphire was a dark, precious stone, which means sacred to Saturn. Okay, so we're not going to go there. We don't know what sapphire is. And we don't even know what sapphire looks like, because sapphire, we always think of being blue, but it comes in lots of colors. Red sapphire basically is ruby. And transparent sapphire is what they make fancy watch covers out of and really expensive phone covers. The glass, very hard. And it says, so some kind of stone, brick, Don't know what color it is. It's described as the Etzem HaShemayim LaTohar, but that's not really describing the stone. It's part of what they're seeing. If you remember what the pasuk says, let's go back to that pasuk over here. It says, "V'tachat raglav k'maseilim." So Mizra says those are two different things. That the Etzem HaShemayim Torah was this rakia, that Hashem's in Shemayim. That Yechezkel saw it as this kareach norah, this awful ice. It was kind of translucent without being fully transparent. They had a closer vision, tachat libnat sapir. Underneath the footstool of sapir was this rakia, which was ke'etzem hashmaya Torah, which was pure and clear, and to etz ke'ena kerach. That was the kerach that Yechezkel saw. So this vision of at Mamre HaSinai, they have a clearer vision. The rakia is clearer. And, not literally, but we get the idea. Yechezkel has a much fuzzier vision. They're much closer there. So Euclid doesn't won't commit to what a sapir is. He calls it Eben Tava. It's some kind of precious stone, right? V'chazu yad yikar al kad Yisrael. They saw the glory of God. V'tachut karasa, and under his legs is yikare, karasa yikare, and under the, and he puts the karasa yikare as the kisei, his throne. Ovet Eben Tava is
Isn't that the
like a.
modern word for a couch or something?
Is that right? I
Karasa?
don't know the modern
Yeah,
word.
corsa, corsa is like a chair
Ottoman.
couch.
Okay.
Yeah. Like a cozy, comfy chair.
Okay, so that's nicer than a throne. You want to say Hashem is sitting in a big comfy chair?
Like
Yeah, well, but the point here, yeah, but that's part of the point. It's got two parts. It's got the kisei part. It's got the ottoman part. That's important, right? And that ottoman is ka'ove eben tava. It's like a precious stone of some kind. And clear as the sky underneath. Okay. So what am I going to do with this very weird things? So the Malbim looks at Yechezkel's description and says, well, it's Kamara Keshet. He says explicitly that the glow out of there is like the vision of the rainbow.
that's what I was thinking, because you've got the ice and then the light and then the
Right. It's a
refract. Like
prism, right? Everybody
that's
knows that,
exactly what
right?
it
You wouldn't want
sounds.
to have figured out, what the math was, but everybody knows you take a translucent or transparent precious stone, you run light through it, and it splits up into a keshet. So this is the Malbim looking at our parsha, comparing it to Yechezkel, because that's common. They saw this vision of the throne. Kamara Evin Sapir, like this sapir stone, Shumuchala Kabel Kol Marot, that was there, that would take all light. Sapirat Olama Kisei, and through this, the sapphire of the world of the Kisei, he sieg b'chazeh hashefa hayaredet me'elokut. That should be, we should put a kuf there. That very Kabbalistically, that the idea that the Shefa, that Hashem's influence, the glory of God, comes from the Kisei and gets refracted from there onto the world. Asher Batzilut, that is next to God. Atzilut HaElyon, in this world of Atzilut, that's from the world of God. Sheba Gevaneh HaKeshet, and split up into these seven colors of the rainbow. Machaduv Kamara Keshet Anan, as Yechezkel saw. Mikra Evin Sapir is called as it's called a stone of sapir al shema sfirot, a sfirit.
Sfirot.
What?
Sfiriyat? What is that
I think
word?
that should be above there. I think it's translated right. It's sfirot. The Kabbalistic sfirot, which is the
Yeah.
way Hashem manifests in the world.
And
Hashem
that
Shemit.
word is English sphere, right?
It's
Or no?
prob that's probably not related.
Oh.
Okay. Sphira.
Are we
Well, we'll
certain?
look at the same. We're gonna get really Kabbalistic and go to the Sefer Yetzirah. Okay. Hashem
Okay.
Shemo Echecha Koach Me'asfirot Shlomah. It's Shem HaSafiriyit. It's the name of the sapphire, because it brings the koach, the power of the Sphirot. Sphirot are how Hashem manifests in the world. And it says it's called the Evan Sapir because it's the way that the light of God is refracted into this world. But I think he's got that backwards, honestly. I
Why?
name it Sphirot because it's called in the Torah Evan Sapir.
Maybe
So
that comes first.
what?
Wow.
That's what I think. Okay, so he says it's called the Evan Sapir because the Sphirot is the older term. I don't know. It may be from Sphere, the Sefer Yetzirah, probably the oldest Kabbalistic text, says, "Bra olamo b'shlosha sapirim." We created the world with through three sapirs, which were Sefer and Sipur, through
What's
text, no, counting, and communication,
storytelling?
speech. So that's the idea of the Sefirot. And then the
Oh.
Sefer Yetzirah is you put these letters together, you put these numbers together, and that tells the story basically of creation. Sphere probably doesn't come into that, but definitely this Eben HaSapir definitely comes into it. And somehow we end up with these Sefirot Kabbalistically that are Hashem's manifest. So, Ein Lo Esek B'Nisterim, we don't deal with Kabbalistic ideas. But the idea here, but you know, we have word pictures for making understanding. So we'll try to. We do that. So the idea that we're looking at that God is, you know, God is Hashem. We have no idea what that means. There's the or that comes out, and then Hashem is the Kisei Kavod. Kavod in Kabbalistic literature always means the way Hashem is manifest, physical things that way Hashem is manifest in the world. It's also called the Merkab. I spelled Merkab. Let's see.
You know, there's a shape of one as a necklace that's called a Merkava. Do you know that thing? That's
No.
it's like a Jewish star within a Jewish star. It's like two
Interesting.
Jewish looking stars, and one kind of goes up to heaven and one down, the Merkava.
There we go.
I'll send you a picture of it. I sent you another picture, by the way, of the Kisei HaKavod on the wheels.
Okay. Let me change this there. Very good to. What you say that there was,
The Elohut.
yeah, well, oh, here we go. Let's change that. Okay, I got another nice somewhere here.
And then we have the Merkava, that the tank that saved Israel.
Right. Well, that's okay. That's definitely a chariot. Oh, I don't do that. There we go. Okay. That's about the Merkabah. That's the manifestation of Hashem in the world creation, and that Hashem sits on it. And that's, you know, what does Yoshev mean? And this is from the Rambam, that the
Oh, is
meaning of Yoshev.
Merkava like the word rechev? Like vehicle?
Same chariot.
Oh, okay.
That has the chariot. Yeah, that's what it is.
Oh.
That's how I knew I must have spelled it wrong. That this is the Rambam, who's not a Kabbalist, but he's at least looking at these words and saying we can't take him literally. He definitely believed in Una the bugbear of metaphor of metaphors. So the first couple of chapters of the Morim Nevukim is saying that when you see
Cannot
these,
imagine the wrong I'm quoting Una the Okay.
yeah, but his first couple chapters of Morim Nevukim is him defining all of these words that sound very anthropomorphic in now. So the meaning of Yashav is be seated. Applies to anything that's permanent and unchanged. But to God, the wording means that when he says, "Atashem lolam teshev, lolam that disappeared. What is there? Why is that? It's not showing. Interesting. Oh, by Shemai Teshev, that's what it is. It's just Teshev. Let's face this. Okay. Atashem Olam Teshev. Gai Hashem sits forever. Hashem has Yoshiva Shemaim. It means everlasting, constant, immutable. He's mutable in no way whatever, not mutable in relation to other things. There's no relation between whatever, this is very Ramban, rationalist looking, but basically, Yoshev means simply Hashem exists. And his relationship with the world doesn't change. Hashem is just sitting there, but the way Hashem appears in the world, that's refracted through this kisei. and it's made out of sapphire, the prism. Refracts the light of creation to the spectrum called the Sefirot, which are the manifold ways that Hashem manifests in the world.
Wait, I want to go back for a minute. Where do we get that the Sefirot are visual prisms? It
He's
was
saying that that
sapphire,
because
sefer.
because what you because Yechezkel sees a noga that surrounds the kisei of Eben HaSapir, and the Noga is Kamare HaKesh Asher Yebanan. Okay? So the glow, it looks like the rainbow. So Malbim says, you know why there's a rainbow surrounding the glow looks as it becomes a rainbow? Because Sapir is a prism that refracts it.
Oh, I see. And you're
Okay?
thinking that the Sfirot of Kabbalah comes from that.
And he said,
well,
that
what
Nikra
does Malbim
Evans,
say here, right?
In the Malbim, Nikra Evans Sapir Hashem has Sefirit. Because of the names of the Sefirot, that's the way the Malbim puts it, that it's called the Sapir because it brings down the power of the Sefirot.
Okay.
And the Sefirot.
But Sefer Yetzirah doesn't relate to that. It has
No.
another
Sefer
use of
Yetzirah
the
says
word.
there are Sefirot which have the sense of Sefer and Mispar
Right.
and Sipur.
Right. Nothing to do with the sapir.
The sapir, right. The Malbim is connected. It seems obvious that
although
it's
it
there.
says
It makes
Shoshah
sense.
Sapirim in the
Well,
Sefer Yetzirah.
I put the dots in there to make that point. The Sefer Yetzirah does not have dots in it, okay? That is a good point. I put it in there to make it look more realistic to my argument. I'm not a Kabbalist. If I did, I would be making three-headed goats in my spare time. So I can't really read the Sefer Yetzirah here, okay? So don't take my word for it. If you have a local Kabbalist, you're an Eretz Yisrael. There are a dozen Kabbalists out
We
there.
actually probably do have local
I'm sure you could. So you can ask him exactly the connection between, and then the question about the spheres in Greek and the sapphire and the Sefer and how it all connects. That's a good question. I'm going to take it as it's a prism reflects there and that the kisei having two parts. That's what I want to look at right now, because there's the throne itself and the hamdom raglav, the ottoman that Hashem's putting his feet on top of. That's the aretz.
So there's the kisei, and then there's the ottoman.
Right, and the right the hadom raglav, okay?
Or the lazy boy that's like all connected.
Right. But the kisei is an Eben Sapir, and the hadom raglav, takat raglav, is a livnat sapir. It's a brick. Malbim says, you know, that means something too. Masay livnat sapir. Why is it a brick? What's ma amashra? Ah, Yecheskel kamara even sapir demut kisei. Same vision that Yecheskel had about the throne of sapir. Rakshi Yecheskel ra kamara even. Yecheskel sees it as a stone. Behemro kamase livnat. Right? It's a brick. Tish hevdel ben even levin livnat. There's a difference between a stone and a brick. She'evan mitaveh b'teva aydei maase b'nei adam. It's an even mitaveh b'teva, because a stone appears in nature that's not done, not worked by human beings. Levena asuya aydei b'nei adam. Brick specifically is made by people. Rumusim b'chomer, that are just, Ramus is mired in stuff. Right? We're physical people. That's what makes that we make bricks out of mud. So the Merkava. So the kingdom have this vision of the Merkava, of the throne of Hashem. They were seeing a vision of Hashem's Shefa, influence on the world, the divine light, however you want to see it, coming from through the refracted through the Kisei, through the Sapir. But it's through the actions of human beings. But
well, the word Levanah, doesn't that evoke for you the bricks in Egypt that they had to build?
Yes. So that's a perfect point. Rashi makes that point.
Oh.
Yes, Rashi says exactly that this is reminding them that Hashem was with them in their struggles in Egypt. And that's an important point, but not one I'm going to go into. But yes.
You can mention
saying
that
that
on Shabbat.
What? I mentioned that that Phyllis will point out that the Levana here is also a reflection of the fact that Bnei Israel just gone through slavery, had to make their own bricks. We're just saying that the footstool basically is formed by human beings, Maaseh Adar v'Tzidkatam, and their righteous actions. L'chein ra'u Livnata sepir Levena Maaseh Adei Bnei Adam, because it's made by human beings. The Hadam Raglav part of the way Hashem's manifests in the world is through the actions of human beings.
Meaning
And that's what
the stone part, that's sort of like untouchable where he's
that's
sitting.
right. Hashem influences the world through Shamayim, and that's the laws of nature, and that's fixed. But the point of all these sefirot, as we talk about this every in the Omer, right? When you go through all the sefirot, Gedula, Gevura,
Yeah.
Chesed, it's not about God, it's about us.
Oh.
The point is that we act in those ways, that the sefirot are how Hashem is manifest in the world through our actions. That's the sefirot on and that through the hadam rag, the footstool of Hashem al haaretz. That's us, as this the Gemara says, right? Then it says, "Anveil, I glorify God." Hevei domalo, you need to be the imitatio Dei. Mahu chanun brachum, afatah chanun brachum. So they have this vision that's showing them how Hashem influences the world, that Hashem influences the world is both through the Shamayim and the refracted through all these, through the Sapir, however we understand that, different agnostic and layers of one world influencing the next one. And some of that is Shamayim, and that's just laws of nature, but some of that is the Tachat Raglav, is the Levena, which is the brick that we make. The human beings make. So Hashem manifests in the world through us. And that's what they get this vision of. And that's important because they're about, these are the Zakenim, this is Aaron and his sons, this is Moshe. They're about to lead the people. They realize that they can't just, Hashem's not just running everything directly, that's going to go through them. I think it's a nice way of looking at this kind of word picture and the understanding we're supposed to get out of it. That we have the light refracted through the Livnat HaSapir that really reflects it. And the way it's refracted, just like any kind of prism, depends on how we cut that gemstone. That's our
Oh,
action.
that's very nice. That's very nice, Danny.
Thank you. Okay, so you should be Chanun and Rachum because you are the Evnat HaSapir. Just like you are the Merkava. We've said that before. That's what the Merkava, that's what the Aron. As the seed of God represents Bnei Israel. So that's nice. See, it says that. That's very nice.
Oh, there it is. That's very nice.
Okay, but why put it here? And especially according to Rashi says that this actually happened before Mamre Har Sinai, last week's Parsha, but it's here right before Moshe goes up for the 40 days. And Abarbanel answers that. And he says, you know what they're seeing here? It's interesting. Number one, Zakenim are not seeing Malachim here. They don't have the whole host on either side. All they're seeing is the one, right? All they see is Hashem there. And it specifically uses the expression, they're called Atzilei B'nei Yisrael, which I just translate as the leaders.
Where is that? Where is it say
Let's go
Atzilei
back.
B'nei Yisrael?
Okay. So the Zakenim, seven goes up, Vayirul Kei Yisrael, etc. Last pasuk. Vel Atzilei B'nei Yisrael O Shalach Yado. And Hashem did not harm the Atzilim of Bnei Israel.
Which we assume is referring to Moshe Aaron,
Yeah,
Nadav,
yeah.
Avihu,
It says, because they gazed upon God, and they could eat and drink. And how we understand that, that's a separate story. We're saying that it's the same, that these are the same, Atzilim Israel are the Moshe Aaron, Nadav, Avihu, Shvim, Zikne Israel. But Atzil merely means next to, and the Malbim used the word. Olama Atzilut, the world that is next to
Oh, like etzel,
Hashem. Right,
like.
right. But use the verb as to set aside, to put something there. And the expression comes up later. There's a later prophetic experience where Moshe is complaining, I can't deal with these people anymore. They keep complaining and it keeps stressing me out. So Hashem says, fine, I want you to appoint 70 more elders. And what happened to the old ones that we can talk about in Parshas Lodcha, and they're going to join you in leading the people. As it says, Hashem says, "V'yoradti, I will come down. V'dibarti imcha sham, and I will speak to you, Moshe, there. But salti min haruach asher alechan, I will etzel, and I will next to. I will set aside. Make that a verb. From the spirits that I knew, v'samti alehem, I'll give them that. They are the. That's what it means to be an atzil, is to get a little of the ruach kodesh that Moshe had."
How are you translating that, salty?
Set aside.
But
It's
that's
the
like
verb. It's the verb form of next to. I don't have a good. I don't. I can't verb that in English very well. Let's see how. No, that's right. Let's go. Has it here as Safaria has? How the wrong one? Oh, it's Yudzai, and that's why. Okay, let's correct that then. Sorry. Should save those. And let's see how they translate it. Here, and this is way JPS translate, I will draw upon the spirit. But Salta, it's you know it's hard. It's not a good translation. Let's see a Koran. I like Trump Koran. Here we go. And Koran translate at Salta as just to take of the spirit. It's even less poetic. You have a good
Everett
word there.
Fox.
What?
Everett Fox is the best translator, in my opinion.
Oh, there at the bottom, right there. It was there, Everett Fox.
There it is.
Is
what
that
does
Fox?
he
Is that Shocking Books?
He's not Jewish, but he
translates. Oh, Everett Fox,
it.
That's it. Okay, I will. I'm happy to try that one. 17. I come and speak with you. I will extend from the rushing spirit, Ruach. He is translated extend.
We'll extend, drop.
Yeah, it's
Schlep
like.
It out. Schlep it out.
Yeah, we can. So there's lots of ways of translating that, but that's what atzilim are the ones that atzalti min haruach. I will let them join in with some of your ruach hakodesh, asher alecha v'samti lehem.
I see. It's the verb of next to. You're
making. That's what I'm saying.
Next, yeah.
And I will next to. I will nextwise. From your. You know. I mean, English is good at verbing, but at verbing stuff. But here, I can't really verb next. Adjacent. I will adjacent. Adjacentize it, probably, right?
But
Okay. Last.
It's something min haruach.
Right.
You know.
Right. You know, it's the image of a candle that it's not limited. You know, that you can light one candle from another without reducing its own flight.
Yeah.
That's where that image comes. Anyway, that's the deal. So this is the way the Baba now looks at what our story. There are two men. There are two reasons why Hashem had them go up. The first is less interesting. One is so that they would get a deeper experience of this Mamar Sinai and be close to Hashem, and they would be able to celebrate that by Yochlu Ba'ish too. But the second way to look at Efshar. Karov, because it was a very near possibility. It was very likely. B'shichud ha-malach, when Hashem is sending a malach, and I think the malach, I'm going to say the malach is referring to Moshe, right? They're going to Eretz Yisrael, and they have a messenger of God. Okay, and it's used that term later on when Moshe describes that Vayishma kolenu Vayishlach malach, his name is Hashem sent a malach to set us out, and Rashi says malach is a Moshe. Right, the malach, mevim are called malachim. It's messenger of God. So God, they have this malach. They have this messenger of God that who's going to lead them into Eretz Yisrael. But there's a very real possibility. She etu Yisrael that Bnei Yisrael can make a mistake, but ehaluto and think he's a god. But yeah, do and they'll serve him. Okay, they're going to start worshiping Moshe. They're worshiping the malach that's accompanying them. Okay, and let's barach. Therefore, Hashem wanted Shealu Rosheam in Moshe. So he wanted all the leaders at least to go up there to have this vision, Elhar, Elhar. because they'll have some sense of nevuah and have some sense of what Moshe is going to go through. They'll see that that God is separate from this malach that's going to lead them. Him, that God is the God of all powers. That Moshe is not God. That's what he wants them to learn. And in this holy experience, and they will experience God's mastery over the world, and the fact that God rules over all of the literal angels, as the philosophical term, the independent, the disembodied intelligences, over all of them, u'gilgalim, and all the heavenly, that's the term for spheres, the heavenly spheres, u'gilgalim, they Allah Moham Moshe, so Moshe goes up with them. And Moshe goes up, not because he needs to experience this, because he's already experienced this multiple times, because he already knew this. But Moshe says, because the Zakenim weren't at the level they were going to get this vision, that Moshe was going to bring them, go with them, and that was the Atzil, he was going to help them along with this.
So it's not for the sake, so the second reason he's saying is not so much for the sake of the Zakenim, it's for the sake of the rest of the people.
Right, so the Canaan who are going to be down there, Moshe is going to go up to Shemayim, and the people have to make sure that they're not looking at Moshe as God. Moshe does all these holy things. He's not God. The Malachim are not God. They had this wonderful experience, but the Zakenim are going to go point out, no, we were there. We know what Moshe is going through. We were there. We had a little taste of that. And Moshe is there seeing a vision of how Hashem runs the world. Okay? And part of that is our behavior. So we got to do right. So he's up there learning how to do that right, and he's going to teach it to us. And he'll come down and he'll teach it to us, and we'll all be wonderful, we'll all be mamachik on him, and we'll all be perfect. That's what he's saying. So the leaders can go back down and lead the people in the absence of Moshe. Right? Sheb emtsuto, that through the medium Moshe, they'll be able to have this prophetic experience. Sheamar about salti min haruach, right? I will etzel, I will adjacentize from the spirit that's on you, and I'll give it to them. So that we have this, so that is the preparation for Moshe going up. That's why it's right before. Moshe goes up Har Sinai for 40 days. The leaders get this lesson that Moshe is not God. Telling them that you have experienced a little taste of what Moshe is going to do for the next month or so. And he is human. You're all part of the same mission to bring the message of Hashem down to earth. And of course, they're going to forget it over the next couple of weeks. And obviously they're going to immediately get panicked because they're Boshesh Moshe. Moshe is late. Uh-oh, what are we going to do? And they immediately need to bring something else to bring this message down. They build the golden calf. But this little image of going up and seeing this vision was, I think, really meant to head this off and avoid that problem.
Didn't work.
Yeah, I know that. I'm sorry.
Did it work?
Well, the Egel came.
Yeah, the whole problem with the Egel is that they missed that. You know, that they all panicked because Moshe wasn't there. It says, you know, if the point was that to teach them that, you know, all the Canaan had the same vision, had this sort of the same thing, then that didn't work. I don't know, maybe it would have been worse if they hadn't done it.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
You know, who knows what would have been, but I'm pretty sure that insanity is doing the same thing, expecting a different result. So we're going to end up in the same Parsha Ki Tisa. It's going to still say the same thing in 3 weeks. But the message here, the Kisei Kavod, is that you are the one who shapes the prism that makes the Sefirot manifest in this world. So it's all up to you to be Chanun Rachum.
Yeah.
Hod Netzach and Malchut.
Thank you.
Have a good Shabbos.
Davida, this is probably the week you're going to have a baby.
Who knows?